welcome to this month's Life Notes, which move you one book closer to living 12 categories smart. This is Jessie Colhagen, and you're listening to The Life Note, Radical Acceptance, by Tara Brach and summarized by Marcia Joseph. As always, we'll begin with a quote. "We don't have to wait until we're on our deathbed to realize what a waste of our precious lives it is to carry the belief that something is wrong with us." Radical Acceptance by Tara Brach is a hopeful and enlightening book that guides us away from current self-doubt and judgment and towards a path of compassion, self-acceptance, and freedom. Drawing upon her experiences as a psychologist and through Buddhist teachings, Brach explains how we can be more fully present, accepting what is in front of us, and meeting our challenges with the heart of a Buddha in order to reduce suffering and live more fully. In addition to her work as a clinical psychologist and as an award-winning author, Brach is founder of the Insight Meditation Community in Washington. You can learn more about her great work at tarabrach.com. In this Life Note, we'll take a look at some of our favorite big thoughts, including tackling unworthiness, increasing self-acceptance and mindfulness, acceptance of desire, opening our heart in the face of fear, having increased compassion for ourselves, and finding radical acceptance in our relationships. If you're ready to tame that negative, self-critical voice in your head and create a powerful new approach to your emotional life, you'll find great value in radical acceptance. The first big thought: unworthiness, self-created toxic gas. Quote, "For so many of us, feelings of deficiency are right around the corner. It doesn't take much. Just hearing of someone else's accomplishments, being criticized, getting into an argument, making a mistake at work, to make us feel that we are not okay. As a friend of mine put it, feeling that something is wrong with me is the invisible and toxic gas I am always breathing." End quote. Brach describes what she calls the trance of unworthiness. She says that we are in a waking dream where running in the backdrop are feelings of fear and worry. We're caught up in our own unhelpful stories that we tell ourselves, these stories that we're somehow not good enough. We just don't have what it takes. And it's a brilliant analogy for her to describe these feelings of unworthiness as toxic gas. In fact, this toxic gas of unworthiness is totally self-created. The particularly challenging aspect about this pervasive feeling of unworthiness is that it creates a feeling of being somehow separate and isolated. It is you against the world, and everyone else seems to have it together but you. Does this sound familiar? Of course it does, and that's exactly the point. Everyone feels deficient from time to time. But there is a way out, through radical self-acceptance and mindfulness. Let's explore that next as we put the cap back on that self-created bottle of toxic gas and move towards a more helpful way of thinking instead. The next big thought: self-acceptance and mindfulness, naming and noting. Quote, "Caught up in our stories, we can effectively deny the truth of our own experience." End quote. One of the most important things that you can do on the path towards radical self-acceptance is to bring your self-doubts out into the open and shine a big spotlight on them. Don't let them lurk in the corners of your mind. Instead, bring them into the light and actually acknowledge them. Brach advises unconditional friendliness towards those thoughts. She suggests using a helpful technique called naming or noting. This is a mindfulness practice where, rather than getting all caught up in the emotion, let's say it's anger or fear, you would recognize it, note it, and name it. You might pause for a moment and acknowledge what you're feeling. Brach uses the example of feeling anxious before giving a talk, and rather than get caught up in the anxiety, she names what is happening. Afraid, afraid, tight, tight. Or she might acknowledge that she's telling herself a story that she might blow the talk and feel rejection as a result. What's interesting about that example is that she acknowledges that she's creating a story. When you acknowledge that it's just a story that you're telling yourself, you're pulling it out of the dark shadows and acknowledging it. This takes away its power. It's just a story. And don't forget, it's a story that you made up. So that begs the question, What story or stories are lurking around in the dark shadows of your mind? What unhelpful stories have you made up? Start to acknowledge them and actually name them. Then be friendly towards them. Maybe you say, "Hello, fear. I know you're showing up to help protect me from looking stupid in front of this audience that I'm about to address. But hey, I got this. I have something important that I want to tell them." Or, "Hello, anger. I know you're warning me that some boundary is being crossed here. Thank you so much for that information, but I can handle that in a more productive way than through anger." By seeing your emotion clearly, explicitly naming and acknowledging it, and then directing unconditional friendliness towards that feeling, you're moving towards a productive solution to it, rather than just spinning your wheels in fear, anger, or any other unproductive, toxic emotional state. The next big thought: acceptance of desire. Be here, not there. Quote, "Our gnawing everyday wants prevent us from relaxing and becoming aware of our deeper yearnings. We perpetually lean into the next moment, hoping it will offer the satisfaction that the present moment does not." End quote. It's natural to have desires and wants. That's how we move forward in life. Yet Brock helps us see how we let our desires control us. Quote, "Desire becomes a problem only when it takes over our sense of who we are," she explains. If we can see our desires clearly and practice radical acceptance of desire, we can then be more present-minded and reduce the hold that our desires have over us. If we're always leaning into the next moment, then we're missing this moment, which is with us right here and right now. Quote, "In teaching the middle way, the Buddha guided us to relate to desire without getting possessed by it and without resisting it," Brock tells us. In other words, there's nothing wrong with desire, but we suffer from our desires when we let them control us, when we become attached to them. We lose awareness not just of the present moment, but also of who we are at our core. When we're so fixated on what we want and what we don't have, this contributes to that feeling of unworthiness mentioned earlier. Try to increase your mindfulness and experience being fully present. Enjoy what is in front of you at this moment. Accept your desires fully and without attachment. Be in this moment rather than always leaning forward into the next one, and you'll be able to live life more fully and peacefully. The next big thought: acceptance of fear, opening our heart. Quote, "The emotion of fear often works overtime. Even when there is no immediate threat, our body may remain tight and on guard, our mind narrowed to focus on what might go wrong. When this happens, fear is no longer functioning to secure our survival. We are caught in the trance of fear, and our moment-to-moment experience becomes bound in reactivity." End quote. Fear can be debilitating, and Brock suggests that we get caught in the trance of fear. When this happens, we lose sight of the fact that there are others who care about us, and our heart and mind contract. We look at everything through that very narrow lens of fear. Think about the last time you felt fear, and you might recall also being in that trance where all you could think about was that fear. Perhaps it was fear of failure or rejection, financial fears, or fear of some kind of loss. Whatever it was for you, it's likely that you were feeling very constricted and very reactive, rather than very open-minded and proactive about solutions. And it's possible to get trapped in that fear, to continue to tell stories about what could or might happen, and to spin those stories into a worst-case scenario. To get out of this black hole of fear, Brock tells us to meet fear with radical acceptance. Quote, "As we learn to say yes to fear, we reconnect with the fullness of being, the heart of awareness that has been overshadowed by the contraction of fear." End quote. She also shares some teachings from Buddhism to help with this point and uses an example of how Buddha dealt with fear. Quote, "By willingly meeting fear with his full attention, the Buddha discovered fearlessness, the open, clear awareness that recognizes the arising and passing of fear without contracting or identifying with it." End quote. So when you give your attention to fear, be fully aware of it and how you're reacting to it, and then you can accept it fully. And from that more productive place, you can open your heart and mind to consider how best to address it. Are you in a trance of fear about something in your life right now? Meet that fear head on and with an open heart so you can move into a different emotional state. The next big thought, compassion for ourselves, self-kindness. Quote, we often distance ourselves from emotional pain, our vulnerability, anger, jealousy, fear, by covering it over with self-judgment. When we push away parts of ourselves, we only dig ourselves deeper into the trance of unworthiness. End quote. Let me ask you this question. Why would you treat yourself worse than you would treat a very good friend? If your friend skipped exercising that day, would you call him up and rant about what a lazy couch potato he was? Or if your other friend had a few pounds to lose, would you call her up and berate her for being overweight? Chances are pretty good that you would be much, much kinder than that. So why is it that when it comes to our own self-talk, it's often so full of harsh self-judgment? Having self-compassion is a very big, very important idea. As Brock notes earlier, when we don't have it, we essentially just keep digging ourselves deeper into feeling unworthy, and this is a terribly unproductive emotional state. In a guided meditation, among several in the book, there's a helpful technique to hold yourself with the same level of kindness and compassion that you would offer to a child or a dear friend. Brock writes that, quote, as you practice invoking an embodiment of compassion, you discover that it is the pathway home to your awakened heart. End quote. The final big idea, radical acceptance in relationships, interconnectedness. Quote, while periods of solitude are a precious and vital part of spiritual practice, teachings that primarily emphasize silent meditation and focus on one's inner life can lead to a basic misunderstanding. They may reinforce the misguided notion that we are on a grim and lonely path and that our spiritual goals can only be realized in a vacuum. End quote. Practicing radical acceptance can and should also be done in the context of others, not just with ourselves. As Brock points out, many of us think of spirituality in context of our inner life. We may practice meditation, for example, going deep within to further develop our consciousness, but then go off into our everyday life and lose that sense of consciousness when it comes to how we are relating to others. Brock notes, quote, if we consider our practice to be spiritual only when it takes place in the context of formal meditations, we are missing how critical daily relationships are to our awakening. End quote. So this idea of radical acceptance must also take place in how we relate to others. If we're feeling frustrated or angry with someone, for example, we can take a step back to practice how to be more forgiving and loving as part of our practice. By being more conscious with our relationships, we reduce the trance of separation, and we foster that interconnectedness that is integral to our spiritual development and living a happier and more fulfilled life. As you travel on your own path to a healthier emotional life and acceptance of yourself and others, Tara Brock's great book, Radical Acceptance, will be a valued guidebook on your journey. We hope you found this life note insightful. Thank you so much for listening in. We look forward to sharing more wisdom with you again soon. And until next time, here's to moving one book closer to living 12 Category Smart.